Size doesn't matter in the European debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Delta Airlines, equipping more routes with in-flight Wi-Fi. You can buy a Wi-Fi pass at Delta.com. Delta, keep climbing.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. European finance ministers are meeting in Brussels today, and at the top of their agenda is the small Mediterranean island nation of Cyprus, population 850,000. It is in desperate need of a bailout. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live with the details. Good morning.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, so with everything else going on in Europe, Greece, Spain, you name it, are they really worried about Cyprus?
It may be small, but it's in big trouble, and it is a member of the Eurozone. If it doesn't get bailed out, it could be blown out of the Eurozone with all sorts of repercussions. So, it may be small, but it certainly matters. There's a lot at stake.
Well, what went wrong in Cyprus? What's the problem?
Well, think Iceland or Ireland, small countries that allowed their banks to get far too big. Cyprus did the same. Financial services account for 70% of the Cypriot economy. The island's banks are heavily exposed to Greece. These banks are effectively bust. They owe a sum equal to the entire economic output of the island, $22 billion.
Which I guess is not a huge sum of money when you think of it in EU terms. Why is this rescue proving so problematic?
Because some of the biggest customers of the Cypriot banks are Russians. Simon Tilford of the Centre for European Reform says that's causing alarm among other EU countries.
By bailing out Cyprus, they are bailing out Russian oligarchs and financiers who have used Cyprus as a financial centre.
That's putting it very politely. There's a profound suspicion that the Russians have been laundering money through Cyprus. Not really the kind of activity the EU wants to protect or support. However, Cyprus has the EU over a barrel. They probably will get the help they need.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Well, from European sovereign debt to American student debt, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has just announced that it wants to supervise some of the largest players in the student loan industry. Tracy Samuelson reports.
Here's the thing. The vast majority of student loans aren't serviced by banks. There are these third parties who send bills and collect payments for the lenders. And they haven't had the same oversight as banks. The CFPB's Alice Hurdy says some borrowers have reported problems.
Their payments are not being applied properly. So they're being charged a late fee when really they shouldn't be charged a late fee. And then they have a problem actually getting those problems resolved.
So the CFPB wants to be able to talk to these companies and look at their records. Mark Kantrowitz is the publisher of FinAid.org. He says attention from the CFPB could be enough to get bad actors to shape up. And lenders might want to peer over the regulator's shoulders.
When a servicer has problems, that's hitting the lender in the pocketbook. And they will make changes if they see that certain servicers are much better quality than other servicers.
And if servicers still don't shape up, the CFPB does have the authority to levy financial penalties and return money to borrowers. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading, up more than a percent in Tokyo, down 0.3% in London. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow broke a record for the eighth consecutive trading day, jumping 83 points to close at 14,539.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has tried to remake a lot of the city over the last 11 years, but as he wraps up his third term, he's got his eye on an extreme makeover of one of Manhattan's most important business districts. It's called Midtown East. Here's Marketplace's Sabri Benishore.
Crowds pour out of trains headed to work. Rows of businessmen in suits are getting their shoes shined. It's been like this for a century inside Grand Central Station. But step out onto the street and you step into a debate about how the heart of Midtown should change.
We're at 42nd and Madison Avenue.
Mike Slattery is the vice president of the Real Estate Board of New York. He points to a brown, brick, kind of dumpy-looking building.
As you see, these are not the kind of buildings that are desirable today. And I think if you look across the street, this is one of the few buildings that have been built in the last 15 years in the district.
It's glass and twice as tall as the older brick building. Slattery says it's environmentally efficient, and the high ceilings and open floor space are what high-end modern corporate tenants want.
It competes with places like Tokyo, Shanghai, London. So that's kind of what's at stake here, New York's preeminence as a commercial capital.
That's why Mayor Michael Bloomberg wants to add 5 million more square feet of office space to Midtown East. The city says it stands to gain $750 million towards subway improvements from selling development rights. And Slattery says it could generate $100 million a year in extra tax revenue. It'll mean some impressive skyscrapers joining New York's famous skyline and some buildings possibly leaving it. Raju Mann points to one, the 20-0 Pershing Square building.
It captures, I think, in many ways, architecture from a particular era.
Mann is director of planning at the Municipal Arts Society of New York.
These are the kinds of buildings that we think create the character and the feel of a place like Midtown.
He worries the district will be overrun by sterile corporate towers. He says Midtown East should also include places for people to live, even play.
The old idea of a place like Midtown from the 1950s and 60s was corporate office buildings. And we think that as a city, we've moved beyond that mindset.
That's something we're learning about and thinking about as the process develops.
Bob Steele is deputy mayor for economic development.
If we create the right place and the right environment where businesses can succeed, then all kinds of new businesses will go there too.
The city's going to release more detailed plans later this month. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And finally to Netflix, which is offering what it's calling the Cloud Prize, $100,000 to people who can take cloud computing to the next level. Although if you are one of the 30% of Americans who believe cloud computing involves an actual cloud, this may not be the contest for you. Yeah, again, that did not come from the cloud, at least not the cloud we're talking about here. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.